This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
But, I think going back to what Shams had to say, I think it is going to be crazy. I think everybody's saying that. And I keep on wondering, how can the Kings get involved? You know, I've changed my tune a little bit about a couple of things.
Okay.
As we're talking about this crazy summer. We talk about, I thought it was just random. I can't wait to listen to the podcast. But I thought my thought process was random. But Matt talking to guys in Charlotte, trying to see how they feel about moving LaMelo.
Yeah.
We'll see how real it is about moving Ja and all this other stuff. And then you got Trae Young. And before, I think I said this a couple of days ago, I was like, I'm not interested in moving future draft picks. Like, you got to start to build assets and stuff like that. We talked about Darius Garland. And as we hear what Shams has to say, and it becomes more real that, hey, a lot of things might move this summer. Kings try to get in there. And maybe you do have to move those picks. And I was looking at what they have. So they own all their picks until 2031. And that's a pick swap. So the Kings own all their picks. They can't trade next year's because they're not drafting this year. So starting from in 27 to 31,
yeah,
you can use all those picks. You've got two first-round picks in 27, one of them being your own, the other being San Antonio's. So
Those picks, you're looking for those kinds of players now? If you're trading whatever, however many first-round picks for a Trae Young, for a Ja Morant, for a LaMelo Ball insert player, like, that's essentially who you're trying to draft, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, but you're – so you'll – essentially, you'll have a pick next year. So, worst comes to worst, you'll have that pick. You can find a young player there. 27, they'll probably want your pick, not San Antonio's. So, you won't be able to say, hey, we'll trade you San Antonio's pick and keep our own. So, you'll probably have to keep that one.
Mm-hmm.
28, I'm assuming, well, you could actually probably trade 28 because you have San Antonio's pick. So, you just have to have a pick in a year. So you could trade 28 if you want to. But the whole point to you saying that is you'll have opportunities to find that guy in the draft. Like, worst case scenario, you're just garbage. You can go find that Ja, Trae, Darius Garland type with your own picks and still use picks to go get that type of guy this summer. I think I've done a 180. I was kind of against using those picks, but if – like, everybody can't just get everybody, right? Like, or the Spurs or the Thunder, they can't just get all the good players that are going to be available this
summer. I don't know that that's true.
There are going to be good players available that are going to need a landing spot. And Sacramento may, hey, Trae Young, Darius Garland, Ja Morant, listen, we can be your landing spot, and it may take us a first-round pick or two. And like we've said a number of different times, a Kings first-round pick holds a little bit more weight around the league. You might be able to get one of those guys. So I think I am kind of for using your picks to try and get somebody like that.
What does a job well done offseason look like to you guys this year?
You find a starting point guard.
You're starting, like, are you looking for, like, a caliber player? Like what type of – player, someone better than Domas and LaVine, someone to match them at least?
Someone to match them at least.
Got to at least match.
Like a certified, verified starting point guard, not Trae Jones.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
Trae Jones wasn't bothering anyone.
And I like Trae Jones.
Well.
I do, but he's not a certified starting PG on a good team. If you had him here as a backup, I'd be like, oh, let's go. But the job well done would be getting a certified, like, no, this guy, he starts in the league. He's a starting point guard in the league on a good team. Yeah. And Matt,
but that can't be the only move, right?
Well, yeah, like, is that where you're looking for your best player as well? Like, or like, are we, because I guess, are you, is Keegan player in the four or the three this year? Because you're going to need someone at one of those spots now?
Yeah, you go find you a four. But I think you can find a, I feel like you can find a four. You know, a guy that go out there and defend the fours and allow Keegan to be at the three. Like, I think you can. I don't think you have to trade for that. I think you got to trade to find a starting point guard.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's, if you could do those two things, bring back Laravia.
Trey Lance gone.
Lyles.
Trey Lance is gone.
Trey Lance has been gone.
Yeah, Trey Lance gone. What about Trey Young? Trey Young gone. Trey from Boys in the Hood. Are they here?
Yeah, I guess so, because I don't know what the money's looking like at that point.
But does it even matter?
What you mean?
What the money looks like. I mean.
Well, the money that you have.
Because of the other moves you're making.
I'll sign for $8 million, but you don't have $8
million. Well, that's cute that you'd sign for that, but. I can't help you.
So I've listened to Matt and he talked about like what it would take to get LaMelo and to get them to even think about it. They would need draft compensation. I'm on the phone today. If it's a three teamer, because I wouldn't necessarily want to send DeMar to Charlotte. Like, I wouldn't want to do that to him. Like, if you could find a three team trade that you give up. See, I don't know if you can, you know, really negotiate like this, but I'll try. I'll try your tactic first.
Okay. Well, thank you. Okay.
I ain't going to give you multiple first rounders, but I'll give you a first rounder and Devin Carter.
In addition, what?
DeMar's salary. I think that would be a three-teamer.
Oh, okay.
But Charlotte would get Devin Carter, a first rounder, maybe a second rounder.
I think you're low balling too much. Disrespectful.
You went from one extreme to the other.
Well, just hang up still.
No, they're getting a player from whoever's the third team.
No, I got it. Okay.
So they're giving you Devin Carter.
Well, they're going to need another draft pick too, probably from that other team, and DeMar will go there. Mm-hmm. And
you get Norman Powell, what we're offering, and a second round pick as well from the Clippers. There, we'll send DeMar to the Clippers.
So Charlotte would get, for LeBron, not this season, hold on, you would get Norman Powell, a first rounder from the Kings, Devin Carter, and a second rounder from the Clippers.
Oh, yeah, they're hanging up on us. I don't know what to tell you. Casey's like, yeah, I'm going to negotiate the right way. Still hung up.
Casey's calling Charlotte like, hey, you suck, pal. Let's figure this out.
Okay, what if I said two first rounders and Devin Carter?
So you're probably not even starting a conversation without multiple first rounders, mm-hmm. but there is like some semblance of truth to what I just said. You guys suck. Mm. You're terrible. And you owe this kid, this young man, $37.9 million, $40.7 million, $43.5 million, and $46.3 million. What do you plan to do with that? Competitively, you guys are probably the only team in the league worse than us. Mm. Let us help you. Here are some draft picks that you can go screw up. And Devin Carter.
Right. I'm sure you're talking to me like that, Sacramento.
I was going to say Mitch Kupchak. He's not the general manager anymore. I don't know who it is.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
You guys traded Tyrese and Luka. You passed on Luka, right?
Talking to me like this?
They got four conference finals appearances between the two of them, and you're talking to us?
Hornets GM is Jeff Peterson.
Okay, you could be making that up.
Maybe we can take advantage of him like everybody took advantage of Monty. Maybe.
Well, I think Mitch Kupchak is still a senior advisor there or something like that.
Damn it. Who would you guys rather have for the Kings, LaMelo or Trae Young?
Trae.
LaMelo.
Trae's more healthy.
I have. That's a good point. I don't know.
LaMelo Ball is all potential, for being real. He's all potential. It hasn't been fulfilled yet. Trey's at least done something.
I have this weird. I love this. The chat is amazing. This is in order. Trey, LaMelo, Trey. Neither.
Yeah, shout out Christian. Trey.
I have this weird hang up with Trey. I do not know what Trey Young is as a basketball. Like, I can't. Like, I think the conversation we had the other day with assists was like, what? He led the league in assists? How? Why? That team's terrible. And he scored 24? And no one cared? That's the LaMelo thing, too, right? Like, LaMelo's a good ball player. He was injured a lot last year, didn't play nearly enough. But no one cares.
I think Trey on the right team is one of the best point guards in the league.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I still believe in his game.
Shout out to
like
Lotus.
He's not great defensively or anything like that, but I still feel like on the right team, yeah, he'll stand out.
Real quick, shout out to Lotus Prime.
He got a lot of run today.
The real answer is Maxey. No, the real answer is Tyrese Halliburton. Like, why are we just saying anything? Goodbye. Not literally. Just the comment on
James
the screen.
James Ham said he'd make the call this morning. 4 first rounders and Zach LaVine. Let's go, Darryl. Let's work.
Trey.
The one trade Philadelphia won't entertain.
Trey. I like Trey just as much as you do. One thing that I am concerned a little bit, and it reminds me of why Tyrese Halliburton is, we talked about it yesterday, maybe above Trey, is the height, man. Like there's a lot of like schematic gymnastics defensively you might have to do with Trey Young and Zach LaVine. LaMelo Ball, he's not locked down or nothing like that. But just his pure 6'7", 6'8", that he is, long arms and all this other stuff, it feels like there might be a little bit more that you can do to make up for some of the deficiencies you have as a team on the defensive end with LaMelo as opposed to Trey.
Real quick.
I love Trey, though.
Real quick, though. 73, 54, 76. 36, 22, 47. The last one is LaMelo's games played per year, the last three seasons, and then the first one is Trey's. Like, LaMelo just doesn't play basketball.
Give me LaMelo's number.
Last three seasons, he was 36 games, 22, and then 47 this past year. Trey was 73 three seasons ago, 54 two seasons ago, and then 76 this past season.
Well, maybe Kenny's original low ball offer was right.
I was about to say, does that make LaMelo cheaper?
Maybe, but
yeah, I'm doing you a favor, call.
The defensive thing doesn't scare me with Trey either. Like, he's not great and all, but that's on Scott Perry to bring in the right players to maximize where he's deficient at, I guess.
If you're Charlotte at this stage, like, because this isn't Tyrese when Tyrese is on his rookie deal. The Kings were taking a risk, a calculated one, but a risk by trading Tyrese Halliburton. Charlotte is not. They are not taking a risk by trading LaMelo, because what are you going to do? Your organization is a mess, and you owe this man $203 million. What are you going to do? There is no risk in trading him, no matter how good he... Plus, he's not playing basketball for you for the last 3 years.
Right.
There's no risk in trading him. Zion, there's a risk because you feel like the talent and that team, like, you... Zion, peak Zion Williamson could potentially lead your team to the conference finals, maybe beyond. We don't know what peak LaMelo looks like, but he probably can't do that. He probably can't do that.
Yeah.
There is no risk for the Charlotte Hornets in trading him. But what, Matt George, you already have one of the lowest attendances in the league. And yeah, there is no risk in Charlotte making this move.
If I'm Charlotte, I like LaMelo, obviously. We talked about it. I like LaMelo. I would maybe that'd be a blind spot for me to like try to trade him. But on the outside looking in, Charlotte, you've already got like you said, which is $200 million that you got to pay LaMelo Ball?
Yeah, $203.8.
$203 million that you have to pay LaMelo Ball. Why not just trade him? You can trade him for future picks. You haven't won anything with him as it is. You can trade him for picks, and you've got the seventh pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You can go get Jeremiah Fears out of Oklahoma, and now you have a new point guard on a rookie scale deal. You reset the clock with a guy that might be he might be better than LaMelo. We don't know. I like the kid. I think he can hoop. Outside of not wanting to give up on the potential of LaMelo, that seems to be the move, whether you trade him to the Kings or anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, trade him, restart that clock. Now Brandon Miller, this was his second year, so it'll be his third year. You got Jeremiah Fears. You just got a Kings first rounder. You got two Kings first rounders, or you got Devin Carter you can throw out there with them too, or something like that. That's the move to me. And that's if I was coming from a place where I just wasn't a believer in LaMelo, or I wasn't as much of a fan as LaMelo as I, Kenny Caraway, am, that's the move. Like, get LaMelo out of here, reset that clock, reset the books, get you a 18-year-old super talented guard in here with your seventh pick or sixth pick, I think they got. They might even have the fourth pick. Yeah, they got the fourth pick. They can get him or Con Knipple. You can get you a new point guard like that.
These dummies may have poisoned that deal.
What?
He's got a 15% trade bonus.
Trae Young it is.
He's got a 15% trade bonus. His contract just started. Wow.
That was easy.
Man. The team, unless the player waives it, the team taking on that deal is the one that pays it.
Well, I guess the new question is Trae Young or John Morant?
Man.
John Morant.
He don't play a lot either.
Doesn't, but he's better than Trey, I think.
I don't know about that.
Well.
John Morant, I still believe in you.
Trey got a 15% trade kicker.
What?
But.
John Morant it is. Definitely if you tell me John's got one too. Drew Holiday then.
Hold on. Break that down. Oh, no, we're still kicking.
We can go.
Okay.
Well, we can
break, that down, that the caveat, the thing that makes Trey's trade kicker different than LaMelo's.
Less years. 43, 45, 48, 49.
This is making me feel better.
Much of a tease.
Oh, no, I thought we were going to keep going.
That's what I was asking. I was like, at first I was going to stop, and I was like, oh, no, maybe we just going to
keep
going.
No, we keep going.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's
how many less years? What?
It's less year. It's two less years. One less year.
Okay.
But it's a lot. It's money. It's 43 million, 45.9 million. A player option for 48.9 million.
I've got bad news.
All right, well, what does Ja got?
Ja Morant got one too, doesn't he?
Ja Morant's got a 15% trade bonus. Jesus. Drew Holiday, you are a Sacramento King.
This is how things are happening in the front office.
Imagine Scott Perry. Wait, does Spotrack say he has a trade kicker? Yeah. All right, we're done.
Here's one that
Drew Holiday doesn't have a trade kicker.
Oh, we're good then. Go ahead and send the two. Send the three first, and Devin Carter here then.
Here's one that I think Russ has pointed out a couple times today that I don't know. What you guys think about Anthony Simmons?
Meh. I'm out, I think.
What's his money looking like?
Is he even a point guard?
Isn't it Simons?
Simons. What did I say? Simmons?
Oh.
Simons. Anthony Simons.
KD55 has an interesting question here. We haven't really been – like, are we curious? Like, how worried are we about bringing someone in with defense and all that? Says, why are we even entertaining ideas of non-defensive point guards? These guys make the Kings nicer to watch, but will not win a lot more games. I know defense has been the thing the last few years. I'm going to keep it real. I'm about the buckets now, but.
Like, all right.
So that's a great question.
Yeah. KD, well, who are you thinking about? Like, we're going to really.
Well, Drew's a defensive point guard, right?
Drew is. And that's why that was the first thought.
No trade kicker. He wins.
But he is nothing offensively. Like, he's going to move the basket.
Not nothing.
Not nothing, but, like, he's he's not shooting the three well. He didn't shoot it well. Like I said, this past season, had the lowest points per game since his rookie season. Like, whoever you're bringing in to, like, come play cannot be 11 points per game like Drew was. And I'm not even sure you could be 13 or whatever. Like, you're going to need something from whoever that is coming in.
The question was, does the kicker go against the kicker?
No, I didn't want to interrupt what you were doing. I just didn't want that to pass. Someone asked in the chat, Kings fan asked, does a trade kicker go against the cap? Yes, it does.
Look, I understand the whole deep, but I agree with Jesse. Like, you're going to have to – you're losing, what, 22 points per game, you know, just by moving on from DeMar DeRozan. I'm not saying you have to get back 22 points per game, but – like you said,
you better find 22 somewhere.
Yeah, getting 11 that's not good enough. So, and then like I said, who are the Drew's the defensive point guard that you're thinking about? You might not be able to get him. Who else are we looking at that you want to be a starting point guard for a good team?
What's Doug want? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And I don't expect you. I'm like, what? Like what? What best runs this offense? Who's here? Is Zach LaVine here? Mm-hmm. Are you planning to have Zach LaVine here for a while? Are you planning to have DeMar DeRozan here for a while? Who works best with DeMar DeRozan? What's Keegan Murray's role next year? Mm-hmm. How does this new point guard benefit him? Mm-hmm. It's not as simple as an offensive point guard and a defensive point guard. It's not as simple as it's not just who's available. It's who fits. Mm-hmm. Who makes the most sense for all parties involved beyond this year? Right. Who makes the most sense for all parties involved for the next 3 to 5 years? And it feels like with this organization right now, it's impossible to look past one single season. Mm-hmm. It feels like you're stuck in like this year-to-year cycle about what you're going to do with the Sacramento Kings and how you're adjusting in the offseason.
Yeah, no, you're 100% correct. 100% correct.
And to me, that's problematic when it comes to team building.
Yeah, and that's why,
i.e., De'Aaron Fox being a San Antonio Spur.
And that's why I look at this as you get somebody that can help you win games right now, because I think if you're able to win right, you're not in a position to just like sell off everything and tank. So because that's not the case, if you get somebody to help you win games right now, I believe everything else will fall into place as far as being able to move forward with a direction and an identity, because you're winning basketball games. So you can look at Trae Young or something like that. Well, you know, we were able to win. Now, you know, we can kind of shift our focus to how can we help Trae and Domas? Like, what pieces do we need for that? Because we got the point guard in place, and this guy's going to be here for a couple years. That's where Drew Holiday doesn't necessarily fit, because Drew Holiday is one where it's like you might get his last really good season.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, what are you going to do after that? I'd be okay with it because he's an organizer, and he'd be somebody that can establish – you know, things for Keon and Davion, or excuse me, not Davion, Devin, and, you know, show them the ropes a little bit while still being productive. But that's the perfect scenario for me would be like a LaMelo Ball. Because LaMelo, I believe he can help you win if he's on the floor with the team that you have.
A little caveat. If he plays. If he plays basketball, he could help.
He's a guy that can help you win, but he's also a guy that can be potentially a cornerstone for your future.
That's an important component of this to me, to the LaMelo conversation, is what can you do moving forward? It also reminds me of something you said the other day that really like started this whole conversation about the Kings, and it was about Cleveland. And I don't think we talked about this day, but it was Evan Mobley, Donovan Mitchell are untouchable. Everything else, why would Cleveland even allow that to be out there right now? Like, if I'm Cleveland, do I want to, is, if I'm Cleveland, I'm looking at what can I do to be better? What is there a, what did we lack in this postseason? Yeah. I have to ask yourself too, what did we lack in the regular season? It's a 64 win basketball team, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not of the belief this team has to make any sort of move.
Well,
I think both Cleveland and I know where you're going, and I'm gonna let you. But I think Cleveland and New York can both run it back and potentially wind up in the same position, or maybe even better next year. But
I'm with you.
Go ahead.
Two words.
Yep.
Second apron.
I hear you.
And
they hit it this year. Pause. They get to the second apron.
Let me pull that up because I had that.
We need to put the second apron teams on this billboard, whiteboard.
We do, but if you Google, there is a second apron tracker on SpotTrack.
Oh, okay.
I just don't know how to get to it from SpotTrack. I know how to Google it, and they got the second apron team tracker. But I think this offseason, they become a second apron team.
Okay.
I believe so.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah.
Cap tracker, apron tracker. Got it. It's under team rankings.
There we go.
Where is Cleveland?
Because they're so.
So if I'm reading this right,
26, and I'm that's when they.
Well, that's great because I'm in 24, 25.
They're in over the second apron territory.
All right. Let's turn these rankings around.
Phoenix is over the second apron. Oh, man.
Yeah, so it's like Boston's here. Phoenix, it looks like they're $11 million over. Mm. Cleveland, $5 million over. Denver is $7 million shy.
If you scroll a little further down, they got all the teams there for you, like in the boxes.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm looking at.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
First apron, Nuggets, Knicks, Magic.
Oh, wait, maybe I'm misunderstanding. Oh, I see. Okay.
Nuggets, Knicks, Magic, first apron.
I went in to peg the Orlando Magic game.
I know, right? Yeah, I didn't see that one either.
And shout out to the Knicks. Shout out to Jalen Brunson for only being a first apron team.
Man. Yeah, he helped them out.
Mm-hmm. Phoenix.
So, oh, that's crazy. God. That is crazy. And
Boston is $19 million, nearly $20 million over.
Wow.
The second apron.
Wow.
Who wants Kristaps Porzingis, huh? Very good player. Might have the plague, but 7 feet tall.
Oh, man.
He's 7 feet tall, though.
Brooklyn. The Brooklyn Nets are $139.4 million away from the second apron.
Jeez.
They have $68 million under their allocations right now.
Looking even further into the future, Cleveland, I'm at 26, 27 right now.
Okay.
Cleveland is the only team in the NBA scheduled to be above the first apron.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I see you. Yep. They've got, it kind of feels like they got to shed some salary this year.
So can I push back a little?
Okay.
They've got to shed salary this season or next offseason.
Gotcha. Well,
if you think you can win a championship, and I guess this is what it all boils down to. Mm-hmm. If you think you can win a championship, you just have to
bite the bullet.
You have to.
Yeah.
If you feel like you can't, or there isn't a move that you can make to make you a championship team, maybe that's where the Darius Garland, Jared Allen stuff comes into play.
Help me out with this. Their second apron going into this season, they only get penalties if they try to make moves. So, like, just because you're sitting in the second apron with the roster that you have, that you don't get taxed for the roster you have. If they try.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I had to sign somebody, you know, during the offseason in addition to what they have. That's where the taxes come from, right?
No, I believe you get taxed for the... You get taxed for the salary that you have.
That you're okay. That you're already over.
Yeah.
So they're $5 million into the second apron. So that $5 million is really $60 million extra dollars they have to pay as an organization.
I don't know what the number is. I don't know because it used to be, and I don't know how this changed with the aprons. But it used to be like it would be dollar for dollar. Mm-hmm. Then it was like $1.25, then $1.50, then it was $2. It would, you know, the $5 million would become $10 million, the $10 million would become $20 million, depending on how long you were over the cap. I don't know how that was before the aprons, though, yeah. And I don't know how that has changed for the aprons. I'm looking at things right now. They're and this is what James talks about all the time. You can't aggregate salaries, cannot use trade exceptions, cannot send cash in trades. Oh, can't trade with the Kings then. Or I take that back. Can't trade with Monty McNair.
they can only re-sign their own free agents.
There's draft penalties. Teams. Like, there are a lot of penalties when it comes to being a second apron team.
They can only make trades where one player's salary is sent out and equal or less salary comes back.
First round pick 7 years out can't be traded. They basically can only sign vets.
This is so stupid. I hate that. I hate the season.
And I don't think this hasn't happened yet. This hasn't happened yet, but if a team, and this is, I think this is what Boston is facing at some point. If a team remains in the second apron 3 out of 5 seasons, well, this doesn't really matter for Boston. Their first round pick will automatically move to the end of the round.
No.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. But Boston's always drafting at the end of the first round.
So yeah, just like last year.
Yeah. Oh, I see you. I see you. We'll come back. We'll close out this show. We'll talk more Kings basketball. We'll try to get Bumper to dump it in here. Have some fun before we go. It's Thilo and Casey on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Hey, real quick. I didn't want another opportunity to go past without me giving a big shout out and sending condolences to the family of Isaiah Fleming, young man that I coached, passed away in his sleep at 11 years old the other night.
Couldn't believe when you told me that.
Was not, at least that I know of, wasn't sick, didn't have any health issues, just passed away in his sleep, man. And it's, you know, I've coached a lot of kids for better part almost 20 years at this point, you know, different age groups. And one of the great things is seeing them get older. Like, there's kids that I coached 10, 12 years ago who were 25 years old and, you know, being young men and young women and starting their lives and stuff like that. And, you know, you see them and it's always so great to see. Not once did I ever think about of one of those kids passing. And man, that's just, it still trips me out to even think about it. But his mom, Aubrey, his dad, Tariq, his brother, Rafe, great people. Want them to know that we're here for him. Love you guys. And yeah, Isaiah's watching us for sure. He's with us, man. So prayers up. And I just wanted to show him love, especially, like I said, they're great people and I've known them, but Tariq is a fan of the show. He's always texting me during the show, you know, talking about something that we're talking about. So I don't expect him to be listening right now, but if he is, just want him to know, hey, love you, man. Love you, big dog, and love your family. So shout out to them. I know there's no easy transition, but I they were fans of what I do. So I wanted to make sure on that platform I showed my love.
Well, why don't you show your skills and transition us to something else? Because that was beautiful. I couldn't believe when you shared that story with me the other day. Yeah. Two, what do you want me to do now?
I don't know. Talk about wrestling.
Well,
I started the WrestleMania 9, Doc.
Oh, did you?
And so the fact, it was 15 minutes and then I fell mm-hmm. asleep. Not because it was bad, just because mm-hmm. I'm at that age. We've talked about it. If I turn something on while I'm sitting, laying in the bed mm-hmm. late at night, I got 10 minutes.
No, the question is, what's late?
It was about 11:45, 12 o'clock okay. last night.
Well, because sometimes, because late's gotten a little earlier for you in yes, recent months. Yeah. Where, you know, this all of a sudden 10:15.
This Ryan's fault because I go put her to sleep and we lay on her couch and I turn something on YouTube. Usually, you know what I've been watching Jesse a lot lately is
Ryan 2 yet? How old is Ryan?
She's two and a half.
Yeah.
You know, I'll throw on the secret bases or whatever.
Oh,
it always
pops
up on my YouTube, so I'm watching that. Those things are only 15 minutes.
Wait, what Secret Bases again? I know we talked about it.
The beef series and all that.
Yeah, they go deep in the history of people's beef.
Oh, no, that was crazy. That was crazy. Boom, boom, you're gone.
Throw me out. I don't care. I wanted to get thrown out.
Well. But I'm not gonna put that into my search engine.
But I
so wait, I know we talked about this. It's hip-hop or it's
sports?
Okay, sports. Okay.
They do a fantastic, so it's beef, it's just they do a rewind. So like you know, they'll do a rewind of game. Yesterday was the anniversary, game 5 of the 2002 series. A little 15, they're all like no more than like 15 minutes and they just kind of give a backstory. They do a fantastic job. They do a great job. Used to be SB Nation. Then they went on and did their own thing.
Yeah, they got like Dion and Andre Rison, Kyrie and Boston's up here.
Dope.
They do fantastic. The last two I've watched is McGuire and Canseco.
Give me Stolen Bases. What is it?
Secret Base. They got Candace versus Gino that they posted 2 months ago.
All right.
Steven Jackson versus Tony Parker.
Yeah. Well, who's the one versus? It's Chris Paul versus everybody, right?
That one or like Rondo, I think.
Yeah. They have the most obscure ones. They do a fantastic job. And the last two was Mark McGuire versus Jose Canseco. And then Barry Bonds versus Jeff Kent. That's the one I was watching. But I say all that to say, I'll start watching these as I'm trying to put her to sleep, mm-hmm. and then I end up going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So
God knows what Ryan does then. She just gets up and throws a party.
Well, she'll go to sleep, but she ends up putting me to sleep too. But so I watched the beginning of WrestleMania 9, Doc, and it was funny where they all were like, what the hell are these cameras doing here?
Yeah.
That was going on here. That was hilarious. But I didn't know anything about the Sugar Ray Leonard boxing match mm-hmm. that they had.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard of the guy before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this was probably a massive fight. This was probably a massive fight. Uh-huh. Sugar Ray Leonard,
uh-huh.
the cocky young black boxer against this white guy.
Yep. Yeah,
this was probably massive.
Literally Vince McMahon's favorite thing in the world. Hulk Hogan versus Zeus in the boxing ring. Like, absolutely.
I had never heard of this guy, and I guess they sold it out. They did great numbers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I think Coward was talking about that, right?
Yeah.
Was it in his stupid little chair? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to finish watching that because it looks fine. It looks cool.
It's enjoyable. What's so funny is I was thinking about that like a night or two ago when one of the games ended, and I fell asleep at the end. I don't know what happened.
At the end of the
I don't know how that like I like Hogan comes in, he's got the black eye. Beefcake's telling the story. Hogan said to me, "I might have one more thing to do tonight, brother." And he like you know, whatever. And that's all I do not remember what happened next. And I've never gone back to watch. It couldn't be more than like 15 minutes, 10 minutes. I've just haven't gone
like
to see
that.
It.
Sometimes it's like that. The part they were like, it was the intro before they really got started, or maybe it might've been the first 5 minutes, but it felt like the way they told the story. And then you saw the clip. It felt like Vince was pushing Hulk out when he goes, "So is this WrestleMania your last WrestleMania?"
Yeah.
And Hulk was like,
yeah.
Oh, what? I just hate them both. Speaking so it's good to see that.
Redacted, did you see John Laurinaitis got pulled from that lawsuit, so now he's going to present evidence, I guess, against McMahon?
Well, yeah, he's cooperating with the prosecution. Yeah, like, I was texting about this with WCW yesterday or the day before. It's like, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't?
No, I mean, does it matter in the case? Yeah, of course it does. Vince isn't going to suffer one single second for this.
No. You're going to make sure.
His boy, his very literal dog, is in the White House.
Yeah.
Handing out pardons.
He's going to make sure.
He is absolutely not going to. He has no company anymore. Like, what? Maybe. I'm sorry. Did Vince McMahon, the wrestling promoter, have a pristine reputation? So what his reputation is going to be damaged? Like, none of it is of consequence.
Yeah.
None of it.
Yeah.
Like, we will get disgusting Sean Combs level details about Vince McMahon's behavior, and it will not matter.
Like you said, he'll make sure.
Will not his wife works in the his wife works in the administration. He will not suffer one bit.
No. Yeah.
And if he even thinks for a heartbeat he's going to jail, he'll probably just die. He's like 80 or something. Like, how old is Vince McMahon at this point? Like, he's I saw that story. I was like,
absolutely nothing. I completely forgot about the White House ties too.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's over.
That's his man.
He's 80 in August this year.
That is very literally his man. I'm sure Don's already called him.
Don't worry.
You're good, dog.
Don't trip.
I got you. Well, I'm gonna go get NBA Youngboy out real quick.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna go get the Grizzlies or Chrisleys or whatever that reality show
was. You got them out?
Yeah, they're out.
I didn't even see that.
$30 million fine. They stole $30 million from people.
Mm.
Yeah, that's good, man.
Mm.
You good?
Damn, that's crazy. Speaking of documentaries, did you guys watch Javaris Crittenden and Gilbert Arenas?
You finally watched it?
I did.
It's fire, right?
It is pretty. Yes, good.
I didn't.
It's pretty good. They did a good job with that.
I feel bad for...
This is the same people who did Malice in the Palace?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the Untold series, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did a pretty good job with that.
I feel bad for Javaris Crittenden in that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Him and Gilbert. That was... I don't want to say... Because I'm not a big fan of Gil. I never have been. But that was the... That was probably the realest I've ever seen him.
Yeah.
He was just like... He talked about his flaws, why there is flaws, and he's just like, "Yeah, I probably should have done this different. I wasn't even thinking about it this way. Like, I probably should have. It probably messed up more than just me."
Was Jarvis on the doc?
Or he's prominent in the doc.
Is he in?
No, he's out.
He's out. They talk about that as well.
Yeah,
They talk about the DM.
Yeah, I was like.
I was going to say, you feel bad for him in the sense where, like, it's tough, but also, like, he's a grown-ass man. He made some decisions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't know how he got out on that. Well, they
talk about that,
but that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it was one of the better docs I've watched in a while.
Okay.
Like, because now it's just been lately just documentary, just whatever. But this one was actually good. Like, even Crystal was into it and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have to watch this one. This is Netflix, right?
Yeah. They got a Brett Favre one that came out. I guess they trash him in that one, but I don't know if I want to watch it. You better do that one right then.
I think I might watch it, but like, I know he's a piece of crap.
What's the thing? I don't want it to be a doc where it's like, oh yeah, Brett Favre, blah blah blah, great quarterback. Now he's running into issues.
Running into issues. Yeah, let's call it running into issues.
Tell it like it is.
Yeah, that's a hard pass for me. I'll pass on anything that has to do with Brett Favre.
Did you have something specific you wanted to touch on right now? So I wanted to address something real quick. So last night, I don't want to say I got in hot water because I didn't get in hot water. It was like 10 people that responded. But I had the tweet where I said,
oh, Lord, Twitter be beating your ass sometimes.
Look, they ain't beating my ass. I don't care what they got to say. I tweet and move on about my life. But I'm watching the OKC Thunder after their destruction of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah.
And they're in the post game, you know, getting their awards and stuff like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know how I feel. Like, this is boring. The exact quote was, I like the OKC players, but ...
Oh man.
Big space.
I see it. Yep.
This might be the most boring combination of players and fan base.
You even got Kamara quote tweeting you.
That the NBA has ever seen. Snooze. Yawn. A bunch of yawn. And look, I mean it. I think the players are great. Great. Watching them play basketball is not the snooze fest. The snooze fest. Look, and what really triggered it was I'm listening to the post game, and I think Chet Holmgren was the one talking. You could hear a pin drop in that place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the hell is this? I'm not saying you got to drown out his words or whatever, but I wish we could pull up the audio. I've never heard a place that quiet when the home team has just won something or done something great. And you had the perfect line the other day. They sound like they just respond to an applause meter.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they sound like there. And it wasn't always like that because I saw the clips of the last time they made the NBA Finals. It looked lit. It looked lit Harden and Westbrook it looked like it was popping.
Exactly. Like, I think it's Russ or KD has like this shot. We used to play in commercials all the time where he hits it and the crowd just erupts. Like, yeah. It hasn't been that since.
Nah, it was. It's different than it was that first time. That first time was popping. This one just looks staged.
Mm-hmm.
Looks staged. So my whole thing was
in a sound studio.
my whole
there's a producer hyping him up. Come
live
on
from Studio 47. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder.
The whole thing, I had two things with that. Number one, I don't think that it's popping. It is the environment is not exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to, I'm not trying to convince you, and you don't have to tell me that I'm wrong or whatever, because I don't care. To me, how are you going to tell me what's entertaining to me?
Well, okay, multiple things here.
Mm-hmm.
One, it's fam, it's Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Two, this is what I was talking about the other day when I said, why say something with no context? Like, I could read what you wrote and understand complete context because of us talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone seeing that for the first time and looking at the replies, they have no idea what you're talking about. They think you're just hating on the basketball team.
Right.
They think like, oh, you wish the Kings were this. Bro, no one's talking about the basketball.
Right.
You're not either you're an idiot, which is possible, or you're purposely not reading the words that I'm writing. And that's the nature of Twitter.
Yeah.
It's scroll and reply, scroll and reply, scroll and reply.
Yeah.
And your opinion, no matter what it is wrong.
That's what, more times than not, that's what Twitter is used for not just me, for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says something, you just, like, if you like it, you retweet it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it, you comment. That's what normally happens. But it was just like, to your point, I got a show to talk about this stuff. So I was like, I'll just talk about it on the air. I don't think that it's not bad. It's not like a bad crowd or nothing like that. It's just different and not as exciting as the Garden or even Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana looked like it's popping. It is not on a sound stage.
Mm-hmm.
That is organic. Like, these people are getting after it. I think that's what it is. OKC, it doesn't feel that way. The other thing, and you kind of mentioned this during the handoff, with SGA. I like SGA.
Mm-hmm.
I like SGA. And you've been around me enough to know, I think, this. SGA doesn't seem like he for none of this nonsense. SGA seems like he has a limit to all this nonsense. Did you see him?
What nonsense? What do you mean?
Just SGA is more like Jokic than Anthony Edwards.
Oh, yeah. Okay, got you.
Like, during the post game conversation with SVP, he's talking and Jalen Williams is in the background dancing and all this other stuff. And it was a funny moment or whatever. And SVP was like, it's like, hey, look over.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
For your shoulder, your teammates over there, da da da, and SGA looks behind him, sees Jalen, and he goes, ah. Does a little chuckle. Will you stop? Will you stop? Mm-hmm. Scott, I'm sorry about this. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. He was pissed. Mm-hmm. He's not for none of it. Like, he'll have fun every now and then, but he about his business. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that with SGA. He about his business.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why he's great as he is. So I
do think he loves basketball. I think he loves being an NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Jokic loves being an NBA player. Like, I don't remember who. So someone was like, no, Jokic absolutely loves basketball. Mm-hmm. He loves professional basketball. He wouldn't be the only one who didn't love being an NBA player, right, and everything that comes along with it.
Right.
I think SGA actually does.
Mm-hmm.
He just has a lower key personality. He's a business oriented type guy.
Yeah.
Which is cool, especially for a brother his age. I think that's dope.
Absolutely. I wish I could find the clip. There was a clip. I don't know if I'll be able to find it, but there was a clip of SGA getting mad at them during the post game because they were doing all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one regular season game, and they were doing all that stuff, and he said, hey man, cut it out. Mm. He was getting pissed. I like that, man. I like SGA a lot. You know, aside from all the you know, is he a star type stuff? I'm a big fan of superstar, all this other stuff. I'm a big fan of SGA. I like when he speaks, the things that he says, what he represents.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything about him, man. I'm a big fan of SGA. Big fan, man. But I thought that was funny. He had had enough for Jalen in that moment. It's like, sorry, Scott. I apologize.
Shout
out SGA.
What an amazing trajectory for this brother's career. He's 26 years old right now, been in the league 7 years. Of course, he started his career with the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
Averaged 10.8 points per game, traded to Oklahoma City as part of the Paul George hostage crisis. 19 points per game, 23.7, 24.5. 31.4, 30.8 in this MVP season, where it looks like he led the league in scoring at 32.7. Man, what a amazing career trajectory for SGA to this point. And I'll just say it again, what a spectacular job by Sam Presti to say, you're going to give us all of these draft picks, but you're giving us that young man too, and he's coming to play here. I don't want to. I'm sorry to take your point about Shea and flip this. I was talking earlier about Sam Presti because a lot of this conversation, a lot of today, has been how much you hate Monty McNair.
Well, and I hate the job that he did.
And you talk about drafting and the moves that Sam Presti has made to get Oklahoma City in this position. And, man, I go back to that Chris Paul move where everyone thought Chris Paul was going to go to Oklahoma City, get bought out, go wind up playing for a contender, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what conversations took place between Chris Paul, his agent, and Sam Presti, but they got that man to stay there. They got that team to the playoffs, and they got that young team some mentorship from one of the most respected player-wise vets in the game. Another a really underrated Sam Presti move in the SGA era.
Yeah.
Incredible, man.
Yeah, he's the truth.
It sounds like KC's got a loaded show tomorrow, man. Make sure you're tapped in. We're going to head over to 102.5. We got lots of giveaways to do over there. We will see you here tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Timberwolves.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.